Joining us is Mark Simon of Sports Info Solutions. Please follow him on Twitter, Mark A. Simon Says. Always good stuff there, podcasts and all sorts of stuff during the week. Mark, how are you? Getting ready for baseball?
I am well, and I am getting ready for baseball, yes, sir.
Not too far away. Hey, the Giants are having an inter-squad game today. And, of course, they have a couple of exhibition games, I guess, coming up Monday and Tuesday with the A's. And then the 23rd, it's Kershaw down in L.A. And it's a 60-game season. And as I tell people, when do you ever start August 1st saying, okay, we're in the pennant race now, let's go 60 games to the end and see how we're going to do? And that's where the Giants are. So normally you'd have to say, well, over 162, you need so much depth, you need so much pitching and all that. How can the Giants realistically think maybe they can make some noise in this National League West? What has to happen?
Yeah, this is very tricky because FanGraphs gives them a 3% chance of making the playoffs, 1% chance of winning the division. So I just sat here and tried to write it all out and tried to figure out, like, what was needed. And what I guess I came up with was that you would need either Longoria or Yastrzemski to have an MVP-caliber season. I think that's your starting point. And you would need the other guy to be very, very good in addition to that. And essentially, probably right from the get-go, you would need Belt and Crawford to be good in a way that they've been before. And you wouldn't necessarily need it for 162 games, which I think gives you a fair shot at it. So you would need that. You would need Dubon also to be kind of at their same kind of level. You would probably need Cueto, Samardzija, and Gausman all to be very solid. I have Cueto as being Cy Young caliber, which I think is going to be a little dicey. And then I just read out, you just need a bunch of guys from this group to all be good. Tony Watson, Rogers, Dubon, I think I just said Yolmer, Solano, Wilmer, Gausman, and Drew Smyly. If all of them are good and then nobody else is, like, really bad, then you might be all right. Now, it's going to be hard because right now you don't know your catching situation, and your catching situation could be kind of weak. If you can get, like, 8 or 9 of those guys that I said to just be good for 60 games, maybe you can be in the thick of this.
Well, it's going to be interesting. You say MVP-type years from Longoria and Yastrzemski. I wonder what an MVP year would look like for 60 games. I think we talked about this a little bit last week in projections. You know, if you play 60 games, you hit 20 home runs. That could be an MVP year.
Yes. Yeah, I think even 16 to 18, if you hit like 280 or 300 or in that range, I think you'll at least be in the conversation. There's probably going to be some player that's going to go on a real tear for 60 games. Like maybe Pete Alonso hits 27 home runs. But I think if you can just be 15, 16 home runs for 60 games, you can be in the conversation.
Saber, we love Saber and all the people connected to Saber, and I'm part of the Saber chapter down in Phoenix, the Roland Heeman chapter. Barry Bloom runs that one. But Saber's convention should be happening right now. It's online. You've been enjoying it. Can you bring us up to date on some of the highlights of the Saber Convention, Society for American Baseball Research, a tremendous group, and I know they're online. What's cooking with them?
All right. So I think people need to remember, too, that Saber is as much and probably most so a history organization. It's not like the Stat Geeks kind of thing. And nothing that has happened so far has been a Stat Geeky kind of presentation. They've done presentations on Frank Robinson and the impact that he had in Baltimore in A, turning the franchise around, B, getting more black players winding up playing in Baltimore after his arrival. There was a presentation on Billy Martin that was pretty good. There's a lot of Oriole-themed stuff because the convention was supposed to be held in Baltimore, so they did stuff on Earl Weaver's clever platoons, particularly in left field, where the Orioles managed to maximize what they had. Essentially what you're seeing teams do now with their platoons. But the thing that I like best, the head of Retro Sheet did a presentation on the history of ejections, and he told a bunch of really good stories, and he posted like these leaderboards and he told the story of Lord Byron, who was an umpire at the turn of the 20th century. And when he ejected people, he didn't just go, "You're out." He would sing a song to kick them out of the game.
All right.
Seriously. All right.
I like it. All right. Now, coincidentally, as we're talking, today is July 11th, and Raf has gone into our archives, and we have this day in baseball history, which I did in 1998. I did one of these every day, and the trick was to find someone who was there that day, and I did it. So today is July 11th. Brooks Robinson was our guest and is our guest because today is the day that Earl Weaver was hired to succeed Hank Bauer as manager of the Orioles.
Oh, no kidding. Earl Weaver, who, according to the ejection tally, ranks fourth all-time in ejections. I guess many people would think of him as kind of like the poster child for it, beyond, you know, Bobby Cox as the all-time leader. But Earl Weaver is kind of the poster child for it because it's the, I guess, the animated level at which he got to when he was ejected from games.
Well, yeah, I know you're not going to be able to hear it, but go online at my podcast page, you know, on KMBR.com or loveofthegameproductions.com and listen to Brooks Robinson talk for about 5 minutes about Earl Weaver. I think it's classic stuff. So that's today, July 11th. All right. Also, yesterday, and Raf and I were talking about one of our greatest games in Giants history, it involved Jonathan Sanchez, and it's not the no-hitter against the Padres, which the anniversary was yesterday. But it was actually a game he pitched in 2008 against the Padres. The Giants ended up winning 5-2, but sort of a precursor of Sanchez, his career was going to get better after that. But you've taken a look at Sanchez's no-hitter, the anniversary yesterday, and compared it to some other great Giant games, and it stands up, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's funny. For one day, I guess anybody can be the best pitcher in the world, and I think that's fair. It's funny that you've got that one. You've also got the Madison Bumgarner game. Friday was the anniversary against the Diamondbacks, where he struck out 14 and pitched the one-hitter, and that held up. That one holds up in Giants history pretty well. So you wouldn't necessarily think of Jonathan Sanchez being at the top of the list, but for any, as we said, for one day, anybody can be a San Francisco pitching legend.
But you've taken a look at the Sanchez no-hitter, and it does stand up the test of time when you compare it with other games.
Yeah, and the reason for that is the effectiveness of the slider that day. If Sanchez could have sustained this over other starts, his career maybe looks a little different. 25 out of 32 for strikes. So that's better than 75%. And 10 strikeouts with the pitch. And I know that in our archives, if you registered 10 strikeouts with a pitch type, that's among like the all-time best in the last 15, 16 years. Because you get 10 strikeouts in a game with your slider. Bumgarner had 10 in the Diamondbacks game with his curveball. If you have 10, that's an elite, a high caliber pitching performance that ranks up there with anyone.
Mm. Well, I appreciate it. We have talked about Sanchez before, and when you said that, it brought it back to me that how effective that slider was. So, Jonathan Sanchez, all right, the anniversary was yesterday. We're glad to acknowledge it on our show. Today is the anniversary of the debut of George Herman, Babe Ruth. How about that? Way back when, being bought from the Baltimore Orioles by the Boston Red Sox, and the beginning of the Babe's career. So just think about it, July, and it's in the middle of the season that he was brought up from the International League.
Yes, and as the Boston Globe described, he shaped up like a fine batsman, even though he went 0-2 that day. The story was that he pitched. He threw 7 innings, only struck out 1, gave up a couple of runs. Dutch Leonard had to come in and rescue him. But there was a separate article in the paper that day specifically focused on Ruth because there was a lot of hype for his appearance at the time. And they said things like he looked like a seasoned veteran out there who fit in with just about everybody on the field. And remember, at this time, Babe Ruth is like 20 years old. But I guess he didn't exactly get what was to come that day. That would come a little bit later.
But a good perspective. In the middle of July, That's when Babe Ruth gets brought up from the International League. Nolan Ryan's 4,000th strikeout, that was today as well.
Yep. I asked Danny Heap about that because Danny Heap was the strikeout victim. I did a piece on Danny Heap a few years ago. He said that it was a totally unfair at-bat. Because it was in Houston, he was at 39.99, and when it got to strike two, he said was a pitch that was a mile away from the plate, and that, you know, he took, and he said it was a ridiculous call. So he knew he was going down there. I looked this up too right before we came on. Nolan Ryan had more strikeouts after turning 38 years old than Bumgarner has in his whole career to this point. He had over 1,800 strikeouts after turning 38.
Wow. Okay. Always great. Always great information. Great information. Let's end on this one. This is All-Star Game Week in baseball history. And for those of us out here, there's always been the legend of Stu Miller in 1961, the All-Star Game at Candlestick. And Stu was probably about 5'7", 5'8", about 140 pounds. And there was a gust of wind at Candlestick, and it knocked him backwards a little bit off the rubber. And they always say it blew him off the mound. Not exactly, but it was a huge balk in the game, in the All-Star Game, and sort of highlighted the winds of Candlestick.
Yes, I went and read up on that one, too. And it was funny. Elroy Face, who also pitched in the game for the Pirates closer at the time, and Danny Murtaugh, who was the Pirates manager, both said that when they walked out to the mound, they experienced it. Murtaugh said, "Didn't you notice I was kind of leaning to the side as I was trying to talk to my pitchers?" Because the wind kept blowing, like knocking him over, and Elroy said he had the same issue. And there was an AP story that said that Rocky Colavito and Roger Maris both said that if they had to play in San Francisco, that they would have quit.
Wow, amazing. Boy, amazing. Hey, look, I love that part of baseball history. You know that. It's always fun to come up with these things. Mark A. Simon says on Twitter, Mark Simon. Last one we'll leave you with, basically, would be Bob Uecker. Raph went in the archives and found one of my old great interviews with Bob Uecker from years ago. Not the worst career ever, and he hit a home run off Koufax, but he certainly made fun of himself enough and made a whole career out of that after baseball.
Yeah, let's acknowledge it wasn't the worst career ever, but it was not anything particularly good. The legend of Bob Uecker, in terms of goodness as a player, is that over a three-game period in 1965, he went 5-for-6 against Sandy Koufax. Other than that, against Koufax, he was like one for a very large number. He had one year where he was all right defensively, but as people know, his career didn't last very long. What he's done in the booth is fantastic. I listened to him, I don't remember if it was last year or the year before, for an extended period of time, and he was still like Vin Scully-esque, sharp as a tack in terms of calling a game. It was a really good listen.
I love it. I'm so glad that Raph found this. He's 86 years old, Bob Uecker. So, but he did have his moments against Koufax. So I'm glad, as always, you clarified that for us. Mark, thank you so much. A great report. And we've got baseball getting closer. So we got another week next weekend, and then we'll see where we are. We may be back to doing pregames July 25th and 26th. We'll see.
Great. Fingers crossed.
All right. Take care. Be safe. That is Mark A. Simon Says on Twitter. Mark Simon, Sports Info Solutions. More coming up. KMBR 680-1045, the sports leader.